best container or the most effective container, and it's also the preservant. And therefore, practically, should begin each moment of learning with the Yirat Shamayim, thinking about Lekayim L'Shem, in order to be correct, to learn Torah the right way, not to make mistakes, Lumina Manas Lasos, to be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. If in the middle you find your focus wandering away from L'Shem Shamayim, you're allowed to reset by learning Yirah, but you shouldn't spend your whole day learning Sifrei Moser, Sifrei Devekos. You should be learning Torah, you should be learning the famous Raya brought in the beginning, David HaMelech, please with Hashem, please let my Tehillim be just like Negayim and Olos. You can't get anything more dry, so to speak, than Negayim and Olos. And David HaMelech is trying to create equivalence, and Hashem doesn't even answer. So Hashem said no, because we don't have an answer in that medrash. We should make a b'nefashas b'rachatot. Okay, now in Perek Yud, Ishar Dalet Perek Yud, there's a big turn here. Okay, it's a big turn here, and I don't want you to avoid it or escape it, but I want you to at least have one encounter with it in your lives, because a lot of people don't get to learn it. It's heavy doses of the Zohar, heavy doses of Kabbalah, but it's absolutely crucial to understand the Nefesh HaChaim, and it's absolutely crucial to understand why Talmud Torah is so central. Okay? To understand that, let me give you a very basic primer of Kabbalah. Okay? Kabbalah tries to trace how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite, non-physical, non-divisible. I've said three different things. Hashem is infinite, so it's like nothing we know. Nothing we know is infinite. Hashem is indivisible. Nothing we know is indivisible. Everything in this world could be subdivided into smaller particles, atoms, molecules, quarks. Everything is subdivided. Look how much energy is released when you smash atoms. So everything is divisible. Human beings are divisible. Ration, emotion, conscious, subconscious. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also non-physical. So all those three traits that we don't know what they are, because we don't know anything like that, are at Hashem's essence. Then all of a sudden, everything in this world comes from Hashem. So a non-Kabbalist, Hashem created, that might issue to think about. Hashem created me, He's in this world, He's up there, He's different, this is the world He created. I live in this world, how should I respond to being placed in this world? Kabbalah says, let's trace it. And Kabbalah is based on the notion, very general, called Hishtalshelus. Hishtalshelus means trickle down. That to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite, non-divisible, non-physical essence down to this world of material, has to pass through many worlds of translation trickling down. And each world is a little bit more physical and a little bit more concrete, very marginally. And each world is a world unto itself. It's not like a world like a room. It's huge universes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence trickles down to. Those four worlds are known as the acronym of, anyone know? Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. I'm not going to go into what those worlds are, but we are very low in the world of Asiya. This is the most physical part of that lowest world. So our entire universe, as huge as it is just one small part of those four worlds. We're a small part of the world of Asiya. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indivisible, infinite, non-physical essence to trickle down to this world, it has to trickle through many, call them lattices, and those lattices are made up of spheros, so they're emanations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. That's the structure of Kabbalah. Tracing the flow. Tracing the trickle. Okay. Now, each world is built on the previous world. We'll see this today. And each world is contained within the previous world. So whatever happens in upper world is going to directly influence lower worlds. There's going to be a flow which upper worlds will influence lower worlds. Okay, what else am I missing here? Okay, now, there's also a world. I'm just using the world, you know, because it's the closest word I can use. It's not a world like we know of the planet Earth. There's an area, there's a region, there's a sphere, there's a space between those four worlds. I'm sorry, those four worlds were mapped by one of the Aris Talmidim, known as Reb Chaim Vital, wrote a sefer called Eitz Chaim. So that's where we get the Kabbalistic mapping. Okay, Reb Chaim Vital did not speak that much about what exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof and those four worlds of Abiyah. He called it Adam HaKadmon. We've heard that phraseology. These are phrases you may have heard about. But a Talmud of Reb Chaim Vital, who may have also been a Talmud of the Ari, but he was very, very instrumental in spreading the Ari's Torah. It's a debate whether he was actually a Talmud of the Ari through Europe. Because the Ari's in Tzfat. How does the Ari's Torah make its way back to Europe? So he was someone that studied in Tzfat or in that area, and then he picked up the Torah of the Ari, certainly learned by Reb Chaim Vital, and then traveled a lot through Europe and brought. He's largely responsible in the end of the 16th, early 17th century, Menachem Serug. He wrote a sefer called Sod HaMalbush, and he called that sphere that exists between Kodesh Baruch Hu's infinite and the light that emanates from Hashem's infinite. It's called the Or HaElyon, and those four huge worlds are then trickled out, and we're just one small part of that lowest world. He called that Malbush because it's an emanation of Hashem's light, and it's like clothing onto a light. Okay, so that's just the hierarchy. Just you should know what these things refer to, what the words refer to, where they place. Now, what happens in that world of Malbush? Or what's important for today? So the world of Malbush, it's the closest you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, because it's a difference between Hashem and that world, but it's a very subtle, nuanced difference. So from our perspective, we're so far down the food chain, as it were, down the cosmological chain, that to us it seems like part of Hashem's essence. And the first part of emanating from Hashem's infinite essence is conjugation. Conjugation means combination of letters in very, very, very basic form. There are 231 letter combinations. Those are called the 231 maftechos, or the 231 she'arim. That's the area in which Torah was first conceived, because Torah is information, and for information you need letters. It's not necessarily the Torah we have, it's a Torah El Yonah. And that's higher than these four worlds. Remember, anything higher is going to influence the lower four worlds. So Torah is first conceived, not necessarily the Torah we have, Bereishis Bara Elokim, although that Torah as well, but more than that, in addition to that 231 letter combinations, primarily two letter combinations, vowel combinations, Imagine a Kodesh Baruch Hu's infinity, and then slowly expresses itself through letter combinations. That's how a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. Through those letter combinations, through the speech of, not our speech, but Be'asara Mamaris Nivra Olam, Rachman, please take sheets, Be'asara Mamaris Nivra Olam, and we'll see today through the Torah that a Kodesh Baruch Hu looked. So let's start with Shar Dalid, Perek Yud. We'll read three prakim today. Perek Yud, Perek Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Beis. Okay, we'll see how this develops. And okay, this is really, really important. Okay, Vigam. It's on the left column of Shar Dalet Perek Yud. About 15 lines in. I put like a little note there. Vigam ki sharsha ha'elyon shel hatara kedosha. These are the phrases. Sharsha ha'elyon. You may not want to take this a little bit distinct. Okay, Sharsha Ha'elyon Shel HaTara Kedosha, the upper root of Tara. Okay, this is not the Tara that we have in front of us, but the higher, more nuance is a bad word, but supernal, like a higher level of Tara, which includes our Tara. Sharsha Ha'elyon Shel HaTara Kedosha, Hu Be'elyon She'be'olamos Hanikroim Olamos Ha'Ein Sof. Aleph Samach is Ein Sof. It's not really Ein Sof, but it's in that space between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, which is called Ein Sof, and that Olam HaMalbush, which is expression, not really thought, but letters. Okay? V'emes, I'm skipping a couple lines. Shekadma kivayachol gam li Olam HaAtzilus Yisbarach. And that came first, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emanations start at the most subtle, nuanced level. So before the actual worlds, again, when I say actual world of Atzilus, I don't mean planets and stars. I mean upper worlds beyond that. But before Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya started, this world of Malbush with the Sharsha Elyon of Tara was created. V'lachein, I'm skipping a couple lines. You can more or less follow my underlines. Ba netzlu v'nivru kol halamas elyonim v'tachtonim. Remember, we spoke about the trickle-down. So that Shoresh HaElyon of Torah in the Olam HaMalbush created all of reality. The first emanation from Hashem was the whatever exists in the Olam HaMalbush, which is the Shara She'ali Naftara. And that created everything. Even our small little thing called the infinite universe, which is a small part of the Olam HaSiyah, was created from whatever happened in those worlds. And again, I'm not going to read most of the Makaras because there's just so many Makaras here. I want you to get the thought. V'ha'inyan, next paragraph on the left column. Ki atara kedosha hi dibur yisbarach. U'remamar piv yisbarach b'maisa b'reishis nivru ha'olamos kulam. And with this speech, A, the Torah that we have, but other speech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Aide Sidur, here it is, here's what I referred to before, line number 3. Aide Sidur Gilgul Serufi Ha'osios, Al Pisedar Reish Lamed Aleph Sharim. By combining in different permutations of different letters in 231 fashions, Neltsu V'Nivru Ha'olamos Elyone Elyonim Ribe Ribavon B'chol Seder Matzavam Opirte Yenem V'chol Nichlal Bahem. All the worlds came. All, everything that we know, not that we know, all the worlds that we don't know, emanated from whatever existed in that Olam HaMalbush, where the upper root of Torah lies. Okay? And literally, I'm obviously going to read very, very briefly, and literally, V'chein b'chol mila v'mila. I'm skipping now to the bottom. B'arayis aksiv, it's about 15 lines up before the paragraph begins. The line begins with Inun. B'arayis aksiv, ba b'arayis bar alokim. Torah says, b'arayis bar alokim. Istakel b'haimila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at that word, Bereshis, Ubaris HaShemayim. And that's how he created the Shemayim. Again, the Shemayim is just our heavens, but all the other worlds, the Asiyah, the Bria, the Atzilus, they were created through other combinations of letters. Ksiv ba v'yomer l'kim hi'or. So our Torah, our text has the word hi'or. Istakel b'haimila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the word hi'or, Ubaris Ha'or. L'chein kol ha'tara, the next underline, b'chlal. V'chol olamos, klaleim uprateim v'sidurim v'chol yonam, kulam klulim v'rmuzim b'esam amaros d'maisa b'reishis. Everything is included in the words of Sefer B'reishis and Parshas B'reishis and Asar amaros b'reishis, because those are the words, and not necessarily only the words we have, but the letter combinations that Hashem created all of reality with. Bottom of the page, and therefore, as I said before, this trickle-down effect means, next page, one on page 100, here's the logic of the whole system. Shekol olam hayoser elyon v'gavoa, any upper world, on the next page, hu nishmaso v'chiyiso v'kiyumo v'aro shel olam shetachtav levad. So upper worlds are the neshama, the source of life, the kiyum, the light of lower worlds. So whatever is higher feeds lower worlds. Trickle down. So Torah's root, not necessarily only our Torah, but Torah's root is in the Olam HaMalbush. Olam HaMalbush is higher than the four worlds of Abia, of Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya. So Torah's upper root is what creates the life and the sustenance and the creation of the lower worlds. Hashem created Shemayim, Aretz, Mayim, Arach, Hoshech. We're looking at the Torah that we have and saying, Yehi Or, or those words created our world. Okay, v'lachein, next paragraph, or next underline, before the end of Perek Yud. Hatara Kedosha. Here's a key shift. Not a shift, but a key emphasis. Shesharsha ha'elyon hanelam, hu lemala malagam mi'atzilus. So the core of Tara is above the world of Atzilus, above those four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yitzira, Asiya. Kedusha Yisbarach, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Araisa Klal Chad, and therefore Torah is like Hashem. It's not like Hashem, but from our vantage point, it's such a subtle emanation from Hashem that we can call it like Hashem. Here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at my hand, here's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof. This is the aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof, and then this is where the Torah, the upper Torah exists, and then all these other worlds that we're all the way at the bottom of. So from our vantage point, Torah is so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emanation that it's like Hashem. Therefore, He hanefesh v'hachius v'nehiru v'shar shadalmin. Torah is the root of everything. Because Torah exists as higher up on that hierarchy. It's the highest tier. Okay, now a major shift. You said all this is true about how the world came into being. But once the world came into being, the world is fixed. It's static. The end of Perek Yud is a tremendous, tremendous leap forward. No, the world is dynamic. Machadesh b'choyam tamin ma'aseh v'reishis. So the world is constantly being supported by that upper Torah. In the end, he says, here's the end of Perek Yud. Kimon shebishas abriya ba neltsu v'nivru kulam. Everything was created from that upper Torah. It's constantly feeding all of reality. And if there wouldn't be this constant regeneration through Torah, hayu chozrim kulam l'sehu v'vol mamish, everything would just evaporate, everything would vanish. Because the system would be short-circuited, because the entire system comes top-down, and Torah exists at the highest level, and without Torah's flow, the world would cease to exist. In Perek Yud Aleph, therefore he stresses why we learn Torah, and here's another major shift, okay? I would say, if I had to summarize these two prakim in three sentences, I would say, Torah exists at the highest level, and therefore trickles down. Torah exists at the highest level. Number two, higher levels create lower levels. Number three, it's not just static, it's dynamic. Number four, here's the money shot. It's not just dynamic, but it's bidirectional. Namely, okay, Torah supports all of reality, but Torah is constantly happening because Torah happened before human beings accepted Torah. So whatever upper levels of Torah created our reality, or all of reality, it's constantly feeding. Torah is its own engine. It's a perpetual engine. It's not. Because Torah's ability to trickle down and be accepted at the lowest level by human beings cycles back and affects the flow of Torah from the upper level. And that's the major chiddush, and that's where we have to learn Torah. So when you're learning Torah, you're affecting, it's almost like an electric circuit, you're affecting the circuitry of Torah, the flow of Torah. And without your learning Torah, the flow would be static. And if the flow is static, then essentially everything would just vanish. Okay, so let's see how he says that. Perek Yud Aleph. V'lezos. Ikar chiyusam v'orem v'kiyumam shel olamos kulam al nachon hurak kishanach osim b'karai. Now here to emphasize that, like why? Why does it make a difference if we learn Torah? If Torah is so supernal and so upper and so tiered and so high, what difference does it make if Moshe Targan learns Torah? So here's the answer. Moshe Targan is a Jew. And the neshama of a Jew is part of that upper tier. The neshama of a Jew comes from that upper tier. So it's not just a Kadosh Baruch Hu v'araisa chadhu, but as he quotes all the Mamari Hazor, Kadosh Baruch Hu araisa v'Yisrael chadhu. Which is why you can solve the steer. V'araisa bar lakim b'shvil Torah shenikoraisa or b'shvil Yisrael shenikoraisa. Same thing. So my neshama down here is part of that upper tier of Hefresh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, Shai, you're getting a lot of overlap in different terminology with the Sefer HaTanya. Sefer HaTanya, a Jewish neshama has HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menapeach. Man nefach midilei vibach v'yapav nishvas chayim. In Kabbalah, that, you don't have the exhalation of Hashem, but you have the emanation of Hashem into that higher tier where my neshama comes from. Okay, Shekol Echad Miyisrael, line number four. Sharish Nishmaso Helyona Medubak V'Nechaz Bios Aleph Me'atara. I'm not going to get into this question, but the Zohar that every single Jew has a letter in the Torah that's his letter. That's just his way for now, without understanding what that adds of saying that just like that upper Torah exists in the upper sphere, my neshama is part of that upper sphere, and therefore, until Jews accepted the Torah 2,000 years into history, 2,500 years into history, that upper Torah was just shining at a distance, but it was making its way through all these worlds, and it didn't really have that much of an impact on our world, because there's no one in this world to connect that Torah. So even though it was creating the worlds, by the time the shine of Torah got down to this world, it was just so, that we'd say, diluted and so muted and so covered, which is why for the first 2,000 years of history, the world was, 2,000 years of history, the world was still in a state of tohu vavohu. Because the creation hadn't yet consolidated. So now let's read him saying this. Okay? It's on the left column of page 100, right after the paragraph, the parentheses, about 10 lines down. V'lachain, me'eis habriya, sh'aysa atara genuza adayin v'mekor shor shanela mikol ha'lamas olyan. When Torah was still concealed up there in the upper spheres. U'me'rachok levad he'ira l'chol ha'lamas l'chiyotzim l'kaimam. And it only radiated from distance, it trickled down. By the time it trickled. There's no human community that was studying Hashem's Torah. Adayin hayu olamos rofafim verosasim. Rofafim verosasim means the world, in my words, it's jello. The world was still unstable, it was shaking, it was jimmying. The Torah was trickling down, but it wasn't received on this world. Lo hayu mechonim hamiti. V'karim chazal shnei alafim tov. That's why chazal, this phrase, the first 2,000 years was a world of tov. We interpret that phrase, Alpi Nigla, Shnei Alafim Tov, moral chaos, theological confusion, people killed each other, Hashem's will wasn't recognized. Everything in Kabbalah can be translated to rationalism. That's what makes Kabbalah, in my opinion, such a complementary way to learn. It's not a separate system. It's stacked. Everything is stacked. So what is happening in Kabbalah is happening in the rational world because everything is symmetrical. So when you're learning Kabbalah, you're really learning the same ideas that you and I non-Kabbalists would talk about, but you're giving different language, different dimension, different scale. So when Chazal say the first 2,000 years the world was tohu vavohu, morally, politically, religiously, theologically, when a Mekubal says the world was tohu vavohu, means the world was shaking because Torah was just radiating or glowing from so far. Okay? When Me'az, bottom of page 100 left column, when we accepted the Torah, once Torah started to trickle down and be accepted by people whose neshama comes from the Mekor HaElyon, kol chiyusam b'kiyumam shel kol olamos, the existence of our world who rak ayidei hevel pinu ve'gyonenu ba, because we learn Torah. Guys, this is the statement. Why are you sitting all day and learning Torah when you could be out changing the world, becoming a doctor, earning a living, serving in the army? The answer to that question is obvious. Are you crazy? You're serving in the army, being a doctor, trying to help the world, alleviate poverty in a small room called Medinas Yisrael, Teaneck, New Jersey, America, whatever. A small component of the Olam HaSiyah. I'm studying today Kiddush and Daf Ches. I'm affecting Olam HaAtzilus, Olam HaBria, Olam HaYitzira, Olam HaSiyah, including your world. Who's doing more right now? That's the answer. Now, there are responses to that. But at least know the conversation. At least know where the conversation begins. I hear when people are just so simplistic, they don't even know where the conversation begins. There's a real conversation here. And this is what it's based upon. And therefore, and this is the famous Volozhina credo, bottom of page 100 left column, Bilti shum safei klal, for sure, shim haya olam kulo mi katzevi akatzeo panechas v'shalom af rega achas me'esek v'zbona shalom v'tarach. There's another major leap forward. If there be a minute the Torah isn't studied, a second. Karega, hayu nechravim kol olam asaliyon. If Torah won't be studied, then that flow would be disrupted. If the flow is disrupted, then the circuit is broken. If the circuit is broken, then the world collapses. So the next time you're called, Ari-wise, Josh Brofman, Yona, think about your grandparents in Volozhin. In Volozhin, you had shifts. The Volozhin took upon themselves to learn Torah 24 hours a day. We assume, but there are two ways to read it differently than the Chayav Volozhin. One way to read it is, okay, Am Yisrael is learning Torah. If there's a minute that we're not learning Torah, it's because we're human beings and we're sleeping. But Kabbalah is not about human beings. Kabbalah is about a cosmological flow. So that makes a difference. It's not like giving grades. Okay, you went to sleep, Ephraim Karp, it's not your fault. You're not going to get punished. Okay, it's not a question of punishment. The world's going to disappear. It's not a punishment to you. The world's just going to end. So it's not a punishment. It's not a question of, it's all right, you need to get some sleep now. The world's going to end. Okay, so if I wouldn't live, if I were disagreeing with the policy in Volozhin, I'd say, okay, when we're not learning in Volozhin, they're learning in Germany, because they're 2 hours behind us. We're not learning in Germany. You know, so someone must be learning in America. I don't know. We're not learning in America. There must be someone in Los Angeles who's learning. In Los Angeles, someone in Hawaii. That's why there are time zones. When we're sleeping in Volozhin, they're awake in China. When we're sleeping in China, they're awake in Europe. So basically, there's always someone learning Torah throughout the world. Volozhin says, no, we can't rely on that. Moshe, you do 3 to 4. Ari, you do 4 to 5, just like Shmira. Balsam, 5 to 6. Ari, 6 to 7. Hand out shifts. Because we in Volozhin are going to keep the universe intact. And we're not going to allow Torah to be silent for one moment. Even when the Russians want us to study Russian, because why we want to study Russian, or we could be supporting the Russians by studying Torah, helping the Russians in Olam HaSolyonim. Okay, and he quotes other Makaros. Just two Makaros I quote. If you look at page 101 on the bottom, on the right column, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Zacha Adam V'lama Torah V'chachma Chasher L'fanei Kimo Shebar HaShemayim O Ki'ilu Hemet Kol HaOlam Kulo. It's a Medrash. V'lekach Amru, just a little bit of a pet plug here, left column. The Vilna Gaon had a brother named Rabbi Avramala, who wrote a beautiful sefer called Ma'alos HaTorah, which was very, very popular in those days about the importance, almost like a pre-Nefesh HaChaim sefer. Nefesh HaChaim becomes a more classic one, much more Kabbalah, Ma'alos HaTorah a little bit less Kabbalah, but a very famous sefer by Zaidi. So my great Zaidi was the Vilna Gaon's brother. My son is named Noam Avraham. He's the 10th generation after Rabbi Avramala, the brother of the Vilna Gaon. So Chaim Volozhin is quoting my great Zaidi sefer. Left column, V'lachin Amru B'Perish Ma'alos HaTorah. I don't know if he's quoting it now. I have to be careful. The sefer is called Ma'alos HaTorah. Maybe calling the Perish Ma'alos. I don't know if he's quoting the sefer or just talking about Ma'alos HaTorah. Left column, page 101. Shekol osik b'Torah l'shma nikwareya, ki kevayach al nasa shutef liot zebrachus. By learning Torah, you're a shutef for the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the ma'aseh brachus. Okay, so this is Perek Yud Aleph is the core, right? You could have taken everything before and said, great, you want to learn Torah, it's your choice, Shai, make a decision. Go out and study math. Go out and become a doctor. But when you learn Torah, make sure you don't waste your time studying Musar. You learn Torah. But there are other pursuits that are maybe more important than Talmud Torah. Here, Chaim Volozhin says, no. There's no pursuit that can even equate to Talmud Torah because you're supporting this entire system. Okay, one more parak. Parak Yud Beis. Chidushin. Here's another leap forward. Okay, what happens when I make chidushin? What happens when I say Torah that's never been said before? Well, what do you think happens? Creating new worlds. So you want to create a world, go learn Arev today and come up with a chiddush. Because if you come up with an accurate chiddush, you're going to create a new world. The chidushin amitin, perek yud beis, the araisa, mischat shema yidei adam, in aroch l'godol naros niflos en yanam ufulosim l'mala. Shekol milo mila pratis amischadeshes v'pi adam. So here's the Kabbalah Kodesh Baruch Hu, nashek lei ma'atel Hashem, kisses that word of Torah and puts it in his crown. But without getting into those details of Hashem's crown, line number three, Nivne mimenu olam chadash bifnei atzmo. V'hein hein hashamayim hachadashim v'aretz hachadashash amar hakosef. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, kasher hashamayim hachadashim asher ani oseh. Then say hashamayim hachadashim asher asisi. Hashamayim hachadashim asher ani oseh. Sounds like Hashem is constantly making new worlds. How does Hashem make new worlds? New Torah. Who makes new Torah? Human beings. So this is why Chidush Torah is so important, because Chidush Torah, not just learning, right? I just, like, interesting conversation. This has nothing to do with the Nefesh HaChaim, but I feel that in today's world of Torah, in some circles, in many circles, there's been a retreat from Lamdus more into the world of Bikias. Daf Yomi, Bikias. And even people who are learning Lamdus, there's a lot of collecting and compiling, because there's so many shiurim that have been given over the last 150 years, and so many Sfarim that are written in the modern period. When I go into Bate Medrash, I really don't get a chance to do that often. Even when I go to America, I don't really get a chance to spend time, like, what are people learning now? But I get a sense they're not less Chidush Torah, more compilations. He says this, he says this, he says this. So I was actually speaking to a boy the other night who's applying to the yeshiva, and like, in his mind, and I think some of his rabbis have said this, you know, Chidush Torah is less firm. Like, you know, it's less firm to me. You should just be reading what the Gedolim wrote or something. And I tried to tell him, it's one shita, but I don't think it's less firm. I think that what we're trying to do in yeshiva is a more accurate representation of what happened in Volozhin or what happened in the great yeshiva. So obviously, you know, you have to be careful. You're not just, oh, I'm Shana Aleph, I just got out of high school, I've been in yeshiva 3 months, I'm even Chadish, reinvent the wheel. But the sense that we want to be dynamic participants in the creation of Torah, after we learn enough Torah so that that creation makes sense, is right here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes your Chiddush Torah and creates a new heaven with it. Okay, so to summarize, what do I want you to get from this? Okay, number one, if anyone decides based on this year that I'm so convinced with what Rabbi Tarragon just said, and I'm so convinced by the Nefesh HaChaim that the lifestyle that I've been raised upon is totally false and totally inaccurate, and I'm wasting eternity, and I'm stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to take the first bus to Mir, I've got news for you. You don't have to get on a bus. I'll drive you. Even to give in the Seker. I'll be totally happy. I'll break 5,000 shekel, as we used to say, easy peasy Japanesey. I'm happy. I'll pay the 5,000 shekel. We're not here to make you into Dati Lumi. I'm here to give you Olam Haba. And if that's your ticket to Olam Haba, I'll spend all the money in the world to get you there. And if you think that's right, and there are hundreds of thousands of people that think that's right, and it is right, and if you think it's the way you should live your life in 2020, please, please, be honest with yourself. And let's say you choose not. Let's say you choose our Hashkafa, the Hashkafa that you were raised on. And you say, you know what? Hashem put me into this world. Hashem wants me to try to change the world. And Hashem wants me to be mishtalot to support the state. Hashem wants me to heal people and to be involved in Tzarchei Tzibur. And therefore, I'm not going to sit there and say that the only pursuit that has any meaning is Talmud Torah. I'm not going to say that. But what about when I have free time? Will I be dedicated to Talmud Torah? And what about the Torah that I learn? Will I really, really, really believe, as I really, really believe, that it's not just in here? Guys, look at me. It's not just in here. And it's not even just in here, although Kiyam Chayenu, that's where we want the Torah to be. But I really believe that every minute that I'm learning Torah, I buy into this full time. I believe every word of this Nefesh HaChayim. Now, whether the conclusion is that nothing else is valuable and you should sequester yourself in yeshiva all day, or you believe you have to be part of this world, believe me. And the truth is, I'll be honest with you, when you speak to real honest people from the Yeshiva Shevelt, they have absolutely no problem if you decide not to take this Nefesh HaChayim and translate it into a yeshivish approach or into a Haredi approach. They just want to know, what are you doing with your spare time? Like, how much are you makshiv Torah? So I'm going to learn, they'll say, 10 hours a day because when I'm in yeshiva, because I don't feel that any of this is worth anything outside of the world of Torah or anything. And you decide you want to be involved in college and profession. Great. But are you going to learn 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day with the same verve and the same commitment? Then it's fine. You make your decision, I make my decision. And you do things that are productive in your sphere, and I do things that are productive in my sphere. So even though your lifestyle doesn't necessarily reflect the way this sefer has been interpreted in the modern era, that there's nothing more important than Torah, therefore everything else has to be shut down, there's another interpretation. Who's to know what Reb Chaim meant? But there's certainly another interpretation that's just as valid. Become a doctor, become a lawyer, serve in the army, build this world, be involved in this world. By the time you're not involved in trying to change the world, be committed to Talmud Torah and recognize that Talmud Torah is part of a world that's far beyond whether... So that's why when... Again, I don't want this to become too abrasive, Chas V'Shalom, but that's why when a professor in university comes up with a new way to read Torah based on the rational tools that he's told, those are valuable. There's no dismissiveness, but it's not as if he has a monopoly on all the understandings of Torah. He's just taking one text, that's one emanation, far, far down the food chain, and listen to what that person says. But it's not as if that person is now encompassing Kala Torah Kula. Kala Torah Kula can't be. You can spend hours and hours and hours in the library of whatever university, whatever skills you're building, and not even begin to touch the core of Torah. Okay, so everyone's contribution is valuable. There's no vilification. There's no criminalization of people. But there's something larger than life here, larger than reality, that you have a chance to partake of. And hopefully, when you learn Torah, that should motivate you. When you study Torah, you should realize you're tapping into something very deeply. And that, I think, is missing from our world. If our world, what some people call in America the modern Orthodox world, if our world in Eretz Yisrael called religious Zionism, could have this sense of Torah, even if they learn 5 minutes of Torah a day, each person, but those 5 minutes on touching upper worlds, I think we'd make major movements forward. But Torah was put into a corner and said, you know, it's just the study for old men, and it's not. And that's what I'm trying. That's the revolution I'm trying to create. It doesn't have to be that you agree with the translation, but agree with the ideas, and then you translate a little bit differently. Okay. In the next 2 days, we'll talk about some more of the prakim of the Nefesh HaChayim, but that's what makes the Sefer so important. And I recommend, really, pick up the Sefer. I know people are going through midwinter blues. Pick up the Sefer and read it. Read Shaar Dalet.